Our scripture reading this evening will be taken from the second book of Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. If you're reading from the Bibles under the benches, it can be found on page 1056. Again, that's 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Well, good evening. I'm not using the wireless mic, so I'll stay close by up here. I'm very pleased to have an opportunity tonight to speak to you. Scott is, along with a whole bunch of our adults and teens down at Fort Hill. We are very proud of the fact that we pretty much take over the camp during Bill Hopkins Week. For each summer, it's a great opportunity for our kids to meet with kids from around the area, and also for our adults to help out there at that very good work. One of the things that I do typically when I preach is I go through my sermon and I look for a couple of times where I can touch base with the teens, and I look over and they're not here, but I don't want you to feel like they have been neglected, because I'm speaking at Fort Hill on Thursday, and guess what lesson I'm using? So they'll be getting this separately in a kind of slightly different form. But what I want us to look at tonight is two biblical concepts and how they relate to each other. So if we bring the slide up. The two terms that I want us to look at tonight and compare with our lives and how they work are the terms integrity and courage. Now, these are related, but you may not have really thought of them as the relationship between them. But I've done a couple of lesson series here at church over the years on the subject of integrity. And integrity is a very important element for us as Christians. It's also a very important element for our interpersonal relationships with others. Integrity really strikes to the core of interpersonal relationships. And so as I studied and went through the ideas of integrity, courage and its relationship, that's where this lesson came from, was looking at courage. Now, what is integrity, first of all? Integrity is a firm adherence to a code of moral values, the quality of or state of being complete or undivided. Sometimes the scripture word could be upright. Okay? The Hebrew word is yosher, used 19 times in the Old Testament. It's translated right, upright, complete. Psalm chapter 25, verse 2 uses both of the Hebrew words because they just wanted to emphasize the importance of integrity. In the New Testament, we see the word used three times, and one of them, and in there it's translated true or upright. Another couple of definitions of integrity. Arthur Miller in The Crucible says, integrity is a bigger thing than just telling the truth. It's about being a certain kind of person. It's about being people who know who we are and what we are, and being true to what we are, even when it could cost us more than we should like to pay. And Stephen Covey says that integrity is the value that we place on ourselves. It's our ability to make and keep commitments to ourselves, also called to walk our talk. So once we have this idea of integrity, and at this point each of us should have a feeling for what that is. It's for being who we are when we look in the mirror, when we go to bed at night, when we get up in the morning, and being comfortable with the fact that we're doing the things we say we're doing. That's what integrity is about. And now let's take a look at this idea of courage. Courage is another one of those things we all agree that we need to have and that we should have. But I think it's important in light of being men and women of integrity that we look at what courage is all about. Now, why does it matter? What are you afraid of? Everybody's afraid of something. When they do surveys of adults in America, the things that pop up are things like, well, of course, what's the number one fear of Americans? Public speaking. Okay. And then there's the fear of failing at a job or a relationship, the fear of losing social status, the fear of being publicly embarrassed, those dreams, you know, that sometimes you might have where you suddenly find yourself in front of a group of people without your pants or something like that, being publicly embarrassed, afraid to learn new things, and sometimes the fear of being too old to do the things that we want to do. All of those kinds of fears need to be met with courage by Christians, and that's really what we're going to talk about. So let's take a look and spend a few minutes looking at the subject of courage. Okay. Courage is the capacity to meet danger without giving way to fear. Now, without giving way to fear, courage consists not of denying fear, but of facing fear and going on because of our faith that we have. And so, this particular word for courage is used 12 times in the Old Testament. I've shown you the words here, ruach and shazak. Both of them have this idea of being courageous, being strong, being comfortable with being fortified, basically standing up to the fear that we see. In the New Testament, 9 times, 2 Greek words here, parseo and paresa. The first one means to be of good cheer. If you remember when Jesus came to the disciples and he's told them, be of good cheer because I'm with you. That phrase, be of good cheer, is the translation of this word that means courage. Also, the other word means being direct, blunt, or bold. It's used of the apostles a couple of times when they spoke out, even when the Sanhedrin told them not to. They spoke out with boldness, and that's the word or idea of courage. So integrity means having the courage to do what's right. And so we see the intersection of these two ideas of integrity and courage with this concept of uprightness or being aligned with what we should be scripturally. Integrity is the fact that it's part of who we are, and courage is able to build on that strength to face the things that we have problems with or fear. And that brings us back to the scripture that Tim read a few minutes ago. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, Paul didn't pick these words through the help of the Holy Spirit by random. When you look at the scripture like this, there's a meaning to the words that are put together there. Power, love, and a sound mind. To me, at least, that sounds like both courage and integrity. Okay? Now, if you look at the NIV translation for these words, and it just gives you a little bit different flavor of the same words, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And looking at the Greek words here, this is a pretty good translation as well. And so the spirit of fear is probably a little bit strong word for the Greek. In the English, the word timidity is probably a little closer to what he's talking. God didn't call on us to be timid. He wants us to be bold. He wants us to have the courage to face the problems that come every day. And so when you look at this idea of courage, as I said earlier, it consists of not of denying fear, but of facing fear and going on in faith. When you speak to Medal of Honor winners, you speak to the guys who have, you know, pulled their buddies out of a foxhole and dragged them through and gotten them back safely. When you look at the guys who've had to face, rescuing a child that has fallen in the street, and they run out and get the child and bring it back, all of them will tell you that courage was not at all about being without fear, but it was being confident and bold to go on despite that fear. Brothers and sisters, that's what this lesson is about. We all have fears. Your fears are different from mine. I have no fear of public speaking. And that's the number one fear that American adults have. Okay? But I got a lot of other fears. And as Christians, we need to be ready to face those things that scare us and have confidence that the one who's supporting us and strengthening us is a lot stronger than anything that we're afraid of. Life is uncertain. There are no guarantees here. We're not guaranteed that we'll wake up in the morning. There are no guarantees. Human guarantees. But what we do have are guarantees from God. James chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And so we see this concept that our faith, the things that help us to be upright, are what allow us to face our problems with fear, without worry. Jesus himself in the Sermon on the Mount had the same concept, Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The NIV translates that, therefore take no thought for the morrow, which kind of gets lost in modern English. Modern, do not worry about tomorrow. It doesn't mean do not think about tomorrow, because we're told repeatedly that we need to plan for the things that we do. But we ought not to worry. We ought not to let fears of tomorrow get in the way of making the decisions. God's guarantees, as opposed to human guarantees, are eternal. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, you've heard this verse before. It basically says we just have to keep looking for the way out if there appears to be an insoluble problem. I'd like for us to look at this verse again in reference to our discussion of integrity and courage. Okay? Why can we have courage? Because the most powerful being in the universe, the creator of all, says, I made a way for you to be strong in this circumstance. No matter what it is, no matter what fear we're facing. And there are a lot of fears that each of us face, and as we get older, we face more and more of those problems that come up. God said, I'm with you. I have a way out. But you need to stand upright, and you need to have courage. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In other words, when we die, when the physical world disappears, whether on the day of judgment or whether our individual death, we can be assured that this physical body and its loss is no loss at all, because we have an eternal promise from God in heaven. And later on in the same chapter, now he that hath wrought us for the self-same thing is God, who also hath given us to us the earnest of his Spirit. Earnest, that means the solid part, the promise of the future, okay? Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. This verse also defines courage for Christians, because the faith that we have helps us to walk the right direction. And then finally, we see the way it's all summed up in verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And so I'm about done with this lesson. I think we'll take a look at some examples from the Bible of God's people who showed courage, and we'll run through these pretty quickly. First of all, Job, who insisted through intense suffering that God was still in charge. If anyone had a legitimate reason to turn against God, it would have been Job. But he showed integrity and he showed courage in facing his problems. Moses. How about Jacob? Jacob, who waited 7 years and worked for 14 more, so that he could marry Rachel. Jacob, who wrestled with God and was successful in following him. Joseph, who spent years as a slave through the treachery of his brothers and chose to be helpful and good rather than vengeful. Then spent time in prison for a crime he didn't commit and chose to be helpful and good there as well. And then had the courage to face and forgive his brothers when he could have had revenge on them. Courage. Courage to be upright and show integrity in each of these places. How many of you have been done dirty as badly as Joseph? His brothers sold him and threw him into slavery. He was working fine, and his master's wife tried to seduce him and charged him with a crime, and he ended up in prison. I mean, Joseph showed real courage. How about Ruth? Ruth, who faced the fear of moving to a new land where she was an alien and became the wife of a prosperous man of God, the great-grandmother of a king, and through her great-great-great-granddaughter, Mary, she became a direct ancestor of the Savior. How about David? He defied a king to serve his God. He spent years running from the wrath of Saul without losing faith or winning against him. And Daniel defied a king to serve his God. Maybe I ought to have a little more fear of public speaking. More fear, I think, of my eyesight following my notes. They should have written them bigger. Anyway, Daniel showed a lot of courage, and we see a picture of him here in the lion's den because he chose to serve God rather than the king. The Apostle Paul, he endured persecutions and tragedies repeatedly without wavering in his commitment and wrote the books that we use to run our lives today. The Apostle Paul, another way of talking about Paul was he was the one who wrote our operations manual, our procedures for being Christians, because that's where we go to when we figure out what it means to be a Christian today. And so he wrote the word, and he continued to be strong for the Lord even when he was in jail. And now, final illustration, the lesson will be yours. The story goes this way. After a long day of work in his cubicle, the young man was the last one to leave. He simply wanted to go home, relax, and prepare for the next day. As he made his way toward the elevator, he heard screaming and saw black smoke and flames billowing out of the hallway. Panic gripped him as a succession of thoughts flew through his mind. I'm on the sixth floor. I'll never make it down. I'm going to die. What he considered to be his only escape, the hallway, was engulfed in flames and impossible to navigate. As his mind continued to race, he heard fire engines and remembered the office was lined with tall windows all across his floor. He coughed and staggered to the windows in hope of a swift rescue. Instead, when he looked down, he could see nothing but a curtain of smoke covering the area. Through the smoke and flames, he realized a crowd had gathered. And along with the firemen, everyone was yelling, "Jump! Jump!" The young man felt a cloud of fear envelop him. Over a loudspeaker, heard the voice of what he assumed to be a fireman. "The only way you'll survive is if you jump. We've spread out a safety net. You'll be perfectly safe." As the crowd continued to yell, the young man realized he didn't have the courage. Didn't have the courage to jump without being able to see the net down below him. His feet were cemented to the floor. Then over the loudspeaker came the voice of his father. "This is your dad. It's okay, son. You can jump." As a familiar voice reached the young man, he felt the grip of fear lift. The trust and love that had been established between father and son over the many years gave him the courage to jump safely down into the net. Now the question for you, do we love and trust our Heavenly Father that much to jump? What fears have you been running from? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Let's show integrity in our daily life by walking the talk. And let's show courage with confidence that the one who supports us is always dependable and can get us where we want to go. So what will you do with Jesus? Do you have the courage tonight, if you're not a Christian, to become one? In obedience, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being willing to repent and turn from your sins, to confess Him as Lord, and being put on in baptism, the water that washes away your sins and makes you a Christian. If you're already a Christian, you've already been baptized for the remission of sins, and you've drifted away, and you want to confess sin and get prayers, to have prayers done for strength and courage, we invite you to come now while we stand and sing together.